And a clear thumbs up from George that we are ready to worship. So come on in, everybody, grab your seats. We are going to worship the Lord. Actually, grab your seats and stand up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Amen. Thank you for this brisk morning. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up. Father God, we do thank you for the breath and life that you've given us. Father God, we worship you this day. We invite you to be in our midst. We invite you to inhabit the praises of your people this morning. We pray for those that are still traveling and for those that are not able to be with us this day. We pray that you bless them wherever they are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Talking with someone over the weekend about, sometimes, even when we're walking with the Lord, times get tough, and sometimes we think, when we're weak, is this real? Is this just, am I being duped into something? You know, Lord, are you really there? And I was able to share my testimony with them that even when times got so hard and so tough, there's certain things that the Lord, certain times the Lord puts in our hearts and in our memories of how we know. Yes, we know for a fact. And mine was just the fact that the Lord took some really messed up little girl from Indiana and some amazing strong man from Florida and put them together, and they have an amazing marriage. And that is what I really hold on to. Like, only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can just... do these things, you know. And I know we all have something in our life that says, yeah, wait a minute, I can't have any doubt, because I know that at that moment the Lord totally showed himself, and now I don't have to have any doubts. So, Father, just remind us how good you are to us and how we have those spiritual epiphanies of, yeah, the Lord does exist. Things are hard right now, but, Father, I'm going to hold on to you because I know that at that moment you really spoke to me and I know you're going to do it again. So, Father, help us just to keep that strength in you.
Thank you.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, that I belong to a strong, amazing family. I have the best father in the world, Lord. And I just pray, Father, I just pray for my children, Lord God, that they are going to want to walk after you, Lord. And I pray for the teenagers here, Father, and for the younger ones and the young adults, Lord God, that, you know, it's not like life gets easier as we get older, but as we're younger, if we're constantly running towards you and asking our perfect Father for help, it gets easier to listen, so that the older we get, we don't want to fight it as much. We just say, okay, Lord, I just can't do it. I just need your guidance. And I pray, Father, that for the younger ones, Lord, and even just the young adults, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you help pride get out of the way. And rather than saying, I think I know it all, and I think I know better than this person or that person, sometimes even we think we may know better than God. I pray, Father, that right now you teach them how to get that pride out of the way, Father, so that they're so quick to listen and so quick to learn, so that a lot of them don't repeat the mistakes that we've made, Lord God. I pray that you give them this amazing supernatural wisdom, Father, that some of us missed out when we were younger, Father. Speak to their hearts, Lord.
Broken heart, you are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. Sing again. You are my Father in heaven. You are the Spirit inside me. You are my Jesus who loves me.
I just pray, Lord, that we just have these open hearts, Lord God. And I know that I was praying for younger ones, Lord. But, Father, we have just as much pride as anyone, Lord. Sometimes I think a little bit of wisdom's on our side, Lord, but we still are stubborn, Father. We still don't want to listen right away, Lord, even as adults, Lord, no matter how old we are. Father, I do pray that you just kill that pride in us, Lord. I speak for myself, too, Lord God. I have so much pride in so many different areas, Lord God. I just want to be humble, Lord. I just want to learn from you. Just help me just be teachable, Lord. We pray today, Lord God, that as you're sharing your message, Lord, that our ears will just be so ready to hear, Lord, and our hearts will be open, Father. Help us to be like little kids that just are so excited to learn something new, Lord.
Hundreds of loaves and sweets. We were eating them all week. And so we do have some. And again, we've got lots of them. Please take them home. They're free in Jesus' name. But just thank the Lord. That's just another way he's providing for this church. I just think about how he does that every week. We don't have to get it, but we do. He's just blessing us. So take it. And freely we receive, and freely we give it away. So we want to give you the bread to eat, but also we want to give you the bread, which is the Word of God and the Lord Jesus. Also, we just want to let you know Winter Jam's coming up Saturday, January 14th, $10. So if you guys are interested in that, love to get somebody to lead a little group up there if anyone's interested. Also, the Christmas Eve service, I mentioned this last week, but for those of you who weren't here, it was we never did it before, and we expected a few people, and it was packed. And I say I mean packed. We had food for, we got for 75 or 100 people just to make sure. And we just thought we'd give it all away to folks afterwards. And there was, like, nothing left. People were like crumbs. And one family that came, somebody just invited them. And during the week, I don't know if you guys noticed, I mentioned last week the palm trees, but they actually trimmed up all the oak trees, took it away. They did thousands of dollars for the whole crew, thousands of dollars for it, all free. They just loved it. They just did it free as a gift for us. So that's just another way. Just God is just blessing. And so we're so grateful for that. We're an equipping ministry here, and so there's some things that we're always doing. We've got sermons online. If you miss out on a Bible study, on a Sunday service, you can listen to that now online. It is now mobile-friendly, thanks to Josh and Amy. Also, we have a motor library in the back left. We've got DVDs, CDs, books that you can check out, all free in Jesus' name. Check them out and return them. We need some help with that motor library. I think somebody might be taking that over. Are you going to take it over? Oh, right. You go, girl. All right, you found faith. Well, that's good. It's an awesome, awesome way just to grow in the Lord. And so all that stuff's available to you free in Jesus' name. I've got one more of these books left. I just found one left. Dreams and Visions, how Jesus is awakening the Muslim world. Does anybody want this last one? You do? Or okay. Then it's yours in Jesus' name. You got to read it now. I didn't do that with the baby.
I open the bed at 9 and I stay up till midnight.
Very good. Good way to do it.
Because I don't go to sleep and I have insomnia.
Uh-huh. I can sleep. I can sleep.
I just don't get
to sleep. But okay, so what else do we have? Let's see. We have one DVD, one CD left, on God's Sovereignty and Man's Responsibility. I think there's only one of those left. If anybody wants it, going up once, twice. No? Okay. And then, last but not least, I think I have a few of these left. Yeah, I do. We made about 30, 40, 50, 60 of them, and now we're down to about 10. This is from Tony Evans. He's a great, excellent expositor, great teacher. He did a great teaching on race, culture, and Christ, and is probably one of the best messages I've ever heard on race in the church. And so, Carl, do you mind? I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. Would you just mind sharing just for a second? Baby Tate will hand you the microphone. you listen to it, and unless it's really terrible, would you? And what did you think? Just tell me whatever you think.
Well, I listened to it twice, and you will too. The message is so spirit-led, and it's direct to his congregation, but he will really enlighten you in the way to look at any kind of race relation, race problems through the eyes of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it just raises your spirits, and it also gives you a different outlook on how to look at it and how to pray for people. It's well worth listening to.
Okay, so anybody who bought one of these, we handed out lots. Don't know if you haven't listened to it, we want to make sure. Okay, all right, one here, one back there. Okay, come back here, guys. Just talk amongst yourselves while we're handing these out. Love it. Equipping the saints. Who else? Saw some other hands. Love it. Fantastic. Okay, now I'm getting heavy. Okay, anybody else? Oh, hands. Okay, good. Got them up. Okay, I got three left. Four. Anybody else? Okay, good. We just want everybody to grow in the Lord. That's the main thing. Okay. Also, just so you guys know some of these things that we're having. Sorry, back here. Oh, I really skipped forward, didn't I? Hello. Okay, am I going the wrong way? Okay, somehow this thing got reversed, just so you know. It's not user error.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Boy, that is really weird. Okay. Well, anyway. Okay. So, you guys already know all this stuff. Sunday mornings, turn the other way. No respect, I think. Sunday mornings, 9 a.m., we'd love to have you come out here and pray for the body and pray for all that God's doing and pray for one another here at the church on Sunday mornings. And, okay. Also, The Nature of Jesus Women's Bible Study is starting back up. And so they're going to be doing four sessions, and so it's going to be on the nature of Jesus, the second and fourth Tuesdays. I think that's this Tuesday coming up. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yes? Fantastic. And it's 6:30 fellowship, 7 p.m. Bible study. Also, the teens are invited. If you're wanting to seek the Lord, girls, and you want to grow in the Lord, we want to invite you out. I've learned a lot from Gail over the years. I know that it's one of Gary's favorite authors. And at least, are you here? Oh, good, there you are. Is there anything that you would like to say before we get started? And we'll have Baby Tate or Big Tate.
I'd like to say, if you want to come on out for the fellowship before, we'll probably have some snacks. Sorry.
and then we're going to jump right in. But after hearing about the guys, spending some time with Gail Irwin, I got reminded about 20 years ago of how I really love seeing him in person. And whenever we go to a pastor's conference, we'd see him, and he was one of the speakers that I really looked forward to. So when I was praying about what us ladies would do, I started watching some of his things, and I was just like, oh, we got to do this. We got to do this. Even if we're copycats, we got to do this. This is pretty awesome. So I hope you guys come out. He's just really wonderful to listen to and just get our hearts just thinking about how Jesus was and is, you know, and how he would speak to people and how he would just look at things. And it's just a really great way of encouraging our hearts in the Lord. So I hope you come out.
It is an excellent study. Excellent study. And then also Thursday night, we've got our barbecue and Bible study. We all share kind of dinner together at 6 p.m., and then we have Bible study afterwards. Jingle Run, we already talked about that last week. A cute bunch of people, just saying. Even though Elijah beat me, doubled my time, but twice as fast. Other than that, he's very humbling, but it was fun. There is another run coming up called the Superhero 5K Race for the Bridge of Life, and we're going to share a little bit about that in the next couple weeks. I think Heather's going to share a little bit about the Bridge of Life, but it's at Nathan Benderson Park, and so it's everybody dresses up as superheroes, and so if you're at all interested in doing that, it goes to a fantastic adoption foster care agency, and we'll share more about that. But if you're interested, start preparing now.
Do we have to run?
Do we have to run?
Actually, no. Yes, some of us are running. Yes, we had some in our group that walked fast. We had some that ran and walked. I was in the run and walk thing. And then we had some that just like sprinted the whole way, and that was pretty much like Elijah. And maybe Uncle Tom, a little pump. Anyway, that is going to be, it's a 6th annual one. That is going to be, that'll be handy. Yeah, it was February. I'll bring you the date next week. Somebody remind me. Okay, but it's in February. Also, just to let you know, just another really cool thing, just what God keeps doing stuff with the church and the school, and I think I shared this last week, but somebody just donated some finances to the school. We need to expand the septic tank. We're going to have more kids wanting to come to the school, and it was going to cost us about $5,000 is what he said, and which is to us, you know, a lot of money. And yeah, it's amazing, out of the blue, someone came forward and just said, we would like to donate $5,000 to the school so that more kids could come. Oh. And so we don't even know who did it. We praise the Lord and we say, thank you, Jesus, for that. It's amazing things that God is doing. Somebody also just donated a used RV here. To the church, amazing things. Someone else just donated a playground, another swing set for us. Yeah, it's incredible. We've got that cedar one, which is really good, but you put some of our teens on there.
Yeah.
You know, you put about four of them on there, and that big cedar beam sort of goes, buckle a little. And so we've got a nice, sturdy metal one that's coming in that's going to be able to hold up to 750 pounds a person. So I'll be able to sit on it. And so anyway, we just did that in Jesus' name. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Thank you, Lord. Honestly, it's like, God, what are you doing? So anyway, just continue to praise the Lord. Somebody mentioned when I sent out a text, someone who was, mom was dying, and they said, you know, I don't even know who this person is. And you sent out a bunch of prayer requests, and I don't even know half the people, you know. And someone else had shared that. And so for the upcoming month, we're going to we'll have a couple people here that felt it on their heart. They'd like to give us name tags.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
So God put it on their heart, and you're going to see them at both doors to make sure you can't get in without a name tag. So don't give them a hassle about it. Put the name tag on. And don't put like.
Can I bring my own name tag on home?
No.
If it's your name, but don't put Amigo Montego or something on it, or the Flash. Put your name on it. Okay? And we're going to do this for the month, and so I know it might be a hassle to some of you, but you know what? Do it. Let's get to know one another better. We're growing. That's what God's doing, and so we're just going to roll with it. So thank you very much for the folks who are doing that. You'll see them at the door. So that'll be happening the next month, so just do it. Yes, Elijah.
Can we put child of the one-two-team?
Yeah, I know. Yes, as long as you put Elijah, child of the one-two-team. Yeah, that'd be great. Susie, can you come up with a microphone for a second?
Oh, Chris, you say
something? Maybe we could change it to heaven hall.
That's, you could do that as well. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Neat.
Yeah. Susan, do you want to do it from there?
Here.
Yeah, okay. Also, we've got Bibles for loving hands. So, Susan, can you take a minute?
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The last few years, we've done like a missions project in the month of December. You all remember we bought animals and chickens and apples
yes.
and all various things. This last December, you notice we didn't have a mission project. We just didn't feel that the Lord was really putting anything on our hearts. So we held off, and then the Lord brought to our knowledge about a local ministry that's been around. I know they've been around at least 20 years, and I'm sure way more than that, called Loving Hands. Mm-hmm. How many of you have heard of Loving Hands?
I've heard of Loving Hands.
Okay, good. So what they are, they're in Palmetto, and they're a live-in residential program for men who have come out of jail. I think most of the men that are there are probably like were probably involved in drugs, okay? So now they live there around the clock, and it's all Jesus, 24 hours a day. It is a fantastic program. And Carl and I have known about it, and we've met the men. They travel around to churches, and they are coming here this spring to share. They sing, they testify. They are on fire for Jesus, and it is a beautiful thing to be a part of. So what they've done now is in our Port Manatee jail, they have this past year have something called the recovery pod. And I don't know how the guys end up in there, but some men end up in this, and they go every week to this recovery pod. Well, the director for Loving Hands Ministry and his assistant go every Thursday morning into the jail, and they take these recovery Bibles that people like us and others in the community donate, and they give away anywhere from 2 to 4 of them a week as new men are coming in. But every week, the men bring these Bibles, and they have discipleship with these men faithfully. And so we were actually a part of already getting 200 Bibles to them. And we want to continue that. And we thought that the church, we all would like to take that on in the month of January. The Bibles are about $11 a piece. And so you can either donate by a check, and then down in the memo you'd make it payable to the church, and then you would write in the memo Bibles or Loving Hands, whatever, just so we know. Or if you use cash, you can get an envelope back here and just write Bibles and we'll know what you mean. Okay? And then we look forward to having these men come in and share in the spring. You will be absolutely blessed.
Hey, would you pray for that real quick, just that God would bless that? And again, just put the checks in the bird box or in an envelope so we know specifically marked out for Bibles or for Loving Hands. But would you just pray over that offering for the opportunity?
Mm-hmm. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. We are so thankful and blessed to call you Savior and to be able to gather together today in freedom and health and safety and warmth, Lord. You are so good to us. And Father, I thank you for this Loving Hands ministry, Lord, and how you've worked through the decades, through the years, Lord, saving our sons is their logo, Lord, and how many men's lives have been redeemed through this faithful ministry, Lord, and how important your word is to this ministry. And I thank you, Lord, that our fellowship is able to partner with them, Lord, and to be a part of getting your word, your book of life, your book of hope, into the hands of these men who so desperately need it. And I thank you, Lord, for how you're going to use us as we partner with them. And I pray, Lord, that you would put it on each heart here, what you would have them to do to be a part of this opportunity, Lord. And we just thank you that your word will not return void. And I pray now, Lord, for this week and their discipleship in the prison this week, Lord, that the men that come, that you would prepare their hearts to receive the gospel, Lord, and they would have a transformed life and be able to go home and be the husbands and sons and fathers that they need to be. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love that. It's so great. And again, we're not asking, we don't usually ask for anything for ourselves. We're just always asking for others. And so don't give out of guilt or compulsion, but if you feel the Lord's leading, put it in there. You know what's really neat? You know, I watch a lot of, I got to say this, I've got to be careful, I'm not saying it in a boastful way. I'm saying it in a thankful Lord way, okay? You know, I watch a lot of folks, and they're constantly about money. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Hey, give, hey, just hey, support, hey. It's like, we get it. Like, I don't want to say it could be anybody. It could be home publisher best. It could be anybody. And so, you know what? All I know is that it's so neat. So here we don't have, mega money people here, and yet the Lord continually provides. We're never asking. Most people usually have to come in here, they ask, what do we tithe? Where do we put the money? And so, and we always just stay in a little bird box in the back. He provides. Provides some birds there and for us. Isn't that cool how God does that? That's amazing. Anyway, God's awesome. Let's get on to Romans. Okay? I think that's all I had, hopefully. All right, we're in the book of Romans. Mm-hmm. We went through Romans chapter 9, which talked about God's sovereignty. Do you need a Bible? Chris, do you mind not handing out a few? Romans chapter, just raise your hand, somebody will bring one to you. Romans chapter 9, we talked about God's sovereignty, how God just, you know, it's his plan of salvation. He doesn't vote by committee. It's kind of his way is the highway. Okay? It's his choice. He chooses, he elects. It's his sovereign choice. But then we also talked about in chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, that doesn't absolve people of responsibility, that we are responsible to choose, that man's responsibility, and that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we left off, as I'm getting there, to Romans chapter 10. My poor Bible. Honey, I really need you to get some tape. All my pages are falling apart. I know you can see yours through that. I publicly shame you. No. Every Sunday I remember. You're welcome. So anyway, we ended up in chapter 10. Especially he's talking about Israel, you know, and he's talking about, you know, he talks about them he says in the last verse of Romans chapter 10, if you remember, he said, but concerning Israel, Romans chapter 10, last verse 21, I think. Mm-hmm. But concerning Israel, he says, all the day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. You know, I think that's such a beautiful picture in one way and such a sad picture in another. Because I picture our Savior like this, and I picture Revelation 3:20, where he says, come, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, you know. Let anyone who wants to drink, anyone who wants to eat, come. You know, I eat, you know, and at the end of Revelation, whoever thirsts, let him come. And I just see him, you know, I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever, like, or maybe your kids do this? Just hold out your arms. I think it's not a big deal. You do that for a long time. And he's doing that to us. And these are supposed to be his people. These are religious people. You know, he's holding out his arms and they're rejecting him. And you know what I found out today in this, and however long I've been ministering now, probably about 20 years, some of the most difficult people to reach are religious people.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know why. Well, let me think. Why do you think that is? Why do you think? You know, and he's standing there. I just picture him, you know? And he's calling. He's saying, come to me. All you are weary-headed, they now give you rest. He's calling them. He's calling. He's waiting. Open arms. No, I want to do it my way. No, we're good. I want to work my way. Why do you think it's so difficult? I'm just asking. Especially with religious people.
I've had some religious people tell me that that it's too easy what Jesus offers. They want to follow the rules that the church is giving them or that they have just been practicing all their life because they feel that they have to work their way into heaven.
Yes, isn't that? And that's what most religions are. It's working your way into heaven instead of receiving the free gift of eternal life. Isn't that true? You know, if you've met somebody religious, and I was, you've got a lot invested in that system. Have you ever seen somebody who's like really on fire for a football team? Mm-hmm. That's their team. They talk about, they know, they're invested. Who was I talking to? I was talking to a young lady. Anyway, she was over at the house New Year's Eve night, and she was saying how, you know, she was so for this football team that this other person, this was some years ago, that when this other person, a friend, really liked the opposing team. And so she says, I stopped being friends with them because I was so on fire for that team. And I thought, oh, how sad that was that you would do that. But that's what kind of religion does. It makes us all self-righteous and puffed up, right? Jen, you were raising your hand as well.
That was pretty much what I was going to say. I mean, people would almost rather earn it than to bow on their knees and accept that gift freely and humbly.
Yes. It's almost like anti-American. Yes. You got to work for it, don't you? No, you just got to receive it. And between religious people and just also, like most of us, I think it's pride. Mm-hmm. You know one of the reasons maybe you didn't come? Because of pride. I tell you, it was with me. Nobody was going to tell me. This thing's a show. I don't need that. I'm the religious guy. I go to church by myself. You know, it's a scam. I was reading in... the Lord gave me a verse in Psalms, and I think this kind of applies. And then he gave me one in Ezekiel. But just, you know, and of course I shuddered already. But it speaks about how God is so there for the humble, how he opposes the proud. And that is so true. And I think about Israel and religious people in general, and all of our hearts are prideful. You know, even back in Ezekiel's time, he said this in Ezekiel 3, talking about the Jews and the house of Israel. He says, but the house of Israel, he's sending Ezekiel out, and he says, son of man, he said, I want you to go now to the house of Israel and speak my word to them. And you're not being sent to a people of obscure speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Hey, I'm not sending you to, you know, I was trying to think of Guam or whatever. I'm trying to think about New Guinea. I'm not sending you to some people. I'm sending you to my own people. They're going to speak the language. I'm not sending you to folks that are... And he says... Then he goes on to say this. He says, not to many people of obscure speech and difficult language whose words you can't understand. Surely if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen you because they're not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. And then he goes on to say, I want you to speak the truth to them, my word to them, whether they listen or fail to listen. And the Lord gave me that verse 20 years ago. Like, he spoke that to my heart. I'm supposed to speak the truth to people, whether they listen or fail to listen. And I have a wonderful privilege of being able to do that. And so do you if you're a born-again Christian. And the heartbreaker is, as you well know, if you walk with the Lord for any amount of time, right, half the time, half the people, they listen. Their hearts break, they repent, they whatever. And the other one, their heart's hardened. And Israel's hardened his heart, the Jewish people have hardened their hearts so much. And God has been so patient with them. Somebody would have to ask, like they are, like they do in 11, you know, has God rejected his people? I hope it's a battery or what, your kids. But has God rejected his people in Romans 11? And the answer is no way. And you know, I think about hard, obstinate people, and I think about, you know, God speaking and speaking and speaking. We'll talk to hardened hearts in a little bit. But, you know, I told you guys a little bit about the Edmund Fitzgerald. Can you shut that light, Chris? And I told you last week, you know, it was one of the biggest freighters, 773 feet. The Empire State Building is only like 1,200 and some odd feet. And it was huge. And it was that Great Lakes freighter, and it sank in 1975. George reminded me they had that song, The Wreck of the
Fitzgerald.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they lost the entire crew. And there were two ships that went out, and she was the largest ship. She was called the pride of the American fleet on the Great Lakes. And for 17 years, the Edmund Fitzgerald carried iron ore from the mines in Minnesota to Detroit and other Great Lake ports. It was a workhorse, and it would even set records all the time. And so that was like the main boat to be on, okay? And this is what's left of it when it sank. And you guys remember the story from last week. According to the sworn testimony of the captain who was behind the Edmund Fitzgerald, that kept telling him, hey, you're in trouble. There's a storm that came up, 35-foot waves, you know, and yeah, we're good. We can handle it. We know what we're doing. I've been doing this for years. It's no problem. And the storm got worse, and the waves got worse, and the cargo started, the ship started to sink and buckle under the weight. Captain's, no, I'm good. And then, according to the sworn testimony from the second captain, other than expressing some difficulty, you know, no distress signals were ever sent before she sank. And she went down just like that. And the captain, McSorley's last message to the SS Anderson, this is what it looks like on the bottom, like 500 feet down, was, hey, we're holding our own. And her crew perished, and no bodies were ever recovered. And I think about that when it comes to a pride in a person's life. You know, and I think about that whether you're here and you don't think you need the Lord, or you think you're a religious person, you're good, you're basing it on your works or your denomination, or somebody dunked you or sprinkled some water on your head, or you said some words, you know, you cannot rely on that. And the Lord keeps telling you, if you come here continually, you're going to hear the word. You're going to hear the Lord's going to keep speaking stuff to you and speaking stuff to you and speaking stuff to you and saying, hey, heads up, the storm's getting worse. You got to pay attention. And you can either say, no, we're all good, or you can bend your knees and say, Jesus, come and calm the storm. You see, he's willing to do that at any time for you. But you have to call out to him. You have to rely on him. Because what he said was in the Edmund Fitzgerald, that it, within 10 seconds, it was on the radar, and then gone. This huge ship, monstrous ship, the pride of the fleet, gone. And that's what will happen to each one of us if we don't bend the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, right.
I was going to say another nautical example would be the Titanic. I think the plane was not even guided to sink the ship.
Right.
That is true. Yeah. That's right.
That was pride.
Yeah.
Right there.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, why don't we take and read Romans, let's get into Romans chapter 11. And
you said you had a Psalm on your heart.
I did. You know what? I'm going to have to look it up, but I didn't want to do it while I had, like, you know, 50, 70 people looking at me. I had it open, had my Bible open, but I forget because I'm ADD, and so I shut it. I left it open so I specifically wouldn't forget it. And then, so if I happen to find it in the next, like, 5 seconds, which would be highly unlikely, I will find it immediately. Okay, it's Psalm 18, 27. Wow, thank you, Lord. It says, you save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. And that goes for me or for you. We're all in the same boat. He'll save the humble. If you're humble, I need help. I'm in distress. I'm crying out to you. I need you, Lord. Otherwise, it says, I think it's not, you know, he'll bring low those whose eyes are haughty. The ship and all its crew lost. He never even recovered the bodies.
What about all those guys who had no choice? They listened to the captain.
Well, that's a good example too, don't you think?
Yeah.
Who are you listening to? Whose boat are you on? Who are you listening to?
Be ready, because you don't know when it's
Do you think that captain or any of the crew, it said in the Wikipedia that everybody, that was the ship, everybody wanted, only the best of the best sailors got to go on that ship. Do you think they thought something was going to happen? Yes, Elijah.
This is saying the sake of the Titanic.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, all of these examples have the same issue. As humans, we want to be in control.
Yes.
If it's, oh, I'm fine, we're holding our own, or I don't need that, because even if I'm working my way to heaven, I'm under control. But when you surrender to the Lord, you give up the control.
That's exactly right. He's the captain of the ship.
Yeah, he's making the decision.
Yeah. He's not the co-pilot, he's the pilot. So basically, you know, somebody might ask then, you know, well, if God has been doing that for so long and God's people have been rejected, maybe he's all done with Israel. And maybe he's all done with the Jews. And there's lots of folks right now that are very anti-Semitic, anti-Jew, anti-Israel. If you're a Christian, that it should be the very opposite of your heart. There is no black or white or Asian or Jew or Gentile. We're all one at the foot of the cross. Do you know what I'm trying to say? You know, I mean, it bothers me when people are anti-Jew. Now listen, the state of Israel is secular, right? Okay, so that, I don't support everything they do because it's not godly, everything that they do. Okay, however, I do support them as a nation because God has a plan for them. I mean, 2,000 years, they didn't exist. There was no nation. That nation just came into being recently, within the last, what, 60 years, 70 years, something like that?
1947.
The Hebrew language didn't even exist. It didn't even exist for 1,000 years. Now it's back again. God has done this. There's a purpose and a plan for it. I mean, and if you're anti-Jewish, Jesus was a Jew. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? There's no room for prejudice in your heart if you're a believer. It needs to go. It needs to get out of there. Anyway, so Paul's like, you know, when he would go out, he would constantly go into the synagogues at Acts. When they went out in Acts, he would always start there, go into the synagogues and preach the gospel. And some of the Jews would be saved. And so, and then they would, others would kick him out and attack him. But it says in verse 1, and we'll read through these verses, he says, I ask then, did God reject his people since they've rejected him for so long? And that's a good question. Some people think that. But Paul answers it here, absolutely. He says, by no means. He's like, no, God's not rejecting his people. So that's crazy. That's crazy talk. That's a Darren paraphrase version. And he brings up a witnesses. It's almost like he's at a court case. And he says, listen, did God reject the Jews? Is God rejecting them? Something like I said, even Christian churches, someone teach that right now. Mm-hmm. And which is crazy to me. And Romans 11 says clearly, by no means. No. He says, here, you want an example? Let me call me to the stand. I'm Paul the Apostle. I'm Jewish. I got saved. And that's basically what he's saying. He's like, listen, I'm an Israelite. Myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. He's like, guys, I'm going to call me to the stand. I got saved. I'm a Jew. And I'm a Jew of the Jews. You guys remember that. You know, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm like a Pharisee. He's like, he saved me. And Paul wasn't really a super wonderful guy. For those of you guys who don't remember him.
Yeah.
It's not like he saw the Christians and thought, wow, they're so nice. What a bunch of loving people. I've been listening to what they're saying. And I'm really sort of, my heart's warming to that. You know, he wasn't like that at all. You know, he was kind of, I don't even know how to say it, but he was kind of a beast of a man. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a brutal before he came to know the Lord. Zealousness for the Lord. In fact, let me go to that screen real quick. Yeah, don't mind. You know, in Acts, the book of Acts, he says lots of things. In Acts 22, 3 to 5, he said, sharing his testimony, he's like, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia. He said, and I've been brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel, which was the top religious teacher. And I was thoroughly trained in the law of our day and of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today, and I persecuted the followers of the way to their death, arresting both men and women, throwing them in prison. As the high priest and the women and all the council can testify themselves. I even obtained letters from other associates in Damascus and went there to bring people as prisoners. He says in Acts 22:20 that he held the coats of people where they were stoning to death the first martyr, Stephen. He wasn't a nice guy. You know, even later on, after he got saved and God was doing all this cool stuff for him, you know, he went to Jerusalem to meet the disciples, and the disciples were scared of him.
Sure.
They're like, no. Even Ananias, when he on his way to Damascus, you remember the story, he got saved. He wasn't looking for God. God came and got him, you know, and saved him. And he sent Ananias over to him, and he blinded Paul, and he sent Ananias over to him. And when God told Ananias to go, he's like, you know, this is the guy that's killing Christians, right? He's doing havoc. I've heard a lot about him, killing people, putting them in prison. This is who I am. This is who this guy is. Do you know that, God? God's like, Ananias, go. I'm telling you to go. He's going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And you know, for whatever it's worth to, yeah, thanks. You know, God could, or I should say, we could ask kind of the same question, you know, is God going to reject me? I hear that sometimes from people. You know, maybe you screwed up a lot. Maybe God has been holding out his arms for you for months, for years, and you've rejected him. You know, the neat thing is, all you have to do is turn around. I remember talking to a teen, as clear as day, we were at Sonny's Barbecue, of course. What is it with you and barbecue? Anyway, we're at Sonny's Barbecue, and he said, I've been going the wrong way for so long. I just feel like I can never turn back. I hate it. I was only happy when I was following the Lord. I'm miserable. I want to die. And I said, all you have to do is turn around. And you might not sense him right there immediately, but he's there. Just turn around and start walking in the opposite direction. That's all you have to do. And God is faithful, even when we're faithless. Listen, this is what his word says, guys. And I want us to look at a couple of these verses really quickly. Because Jesus says in John 6:37, all those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That's what your Savior says. If you come to him, he will never drive you away. You don't have to worry about it. Not only that, he says this, which is really cool, in Philippians 1:6. He says, "You being confident of this, that he who began that good and work in you, will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." That's why God's not done with the Jews. You can't reject him enough. He's still going to be there. If you turn around, if you've come to him, anyone who comes to him, he'll receive. If he can receive me, a sinner like me, he's going to receive you. That's our God. I love how the ESV puts it. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. That's your God. Okay. Sorry, thanks, Chris. He goes on to say in verse 2, God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. And you guys remember that. Foreknowledge is the bridge between God's sovereignty and man's responsibility from chapter 9 there. He says, don't you know that what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? They called themselves and saying, I'm a Jew, and God didn't reject me. Now he's calling, remember what he said about Elijah? He says, Elijah, how he appeared to God, excuse me, thank you very much. He appealed to God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets. They've torn down your altars. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to them? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So listen, even a godly man like Elijah prayed against Israel. He said, hey, they're rejecting you right now. You remember the story back in 1 Kings 18? There was a big showdown. All Israel gathered. There was 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah, And then there was just Elijah. And whoever's God, he made a little challenge. Whoever was the real God was going to be the one that consumed the fire, the little sacrifice. And you guys remember the story, those 850 prophets, you know, built their little altar, and they cut themselves, they screamed, they chanted in front of all Israel, you know, Yah, Seir. And Elijah starts taunting them. He says, you know, maybe he's out relieving himself. Maybe he's going to the bathroom. He actually says that. You know, maybe he's on vacation. Yeah, he's actually, maybe he's at Disney or something. That's a Darren paraphrase version. You know, maybe he's at Disney. You know, and they're called, and finally nothing happened. So then all Elijah did was get up there and prayed a little prayer. Fire comes down. It burns up the sacrifice, burns up the altar. He even had it drenched in water. Licked up the water, the dirt, earth, everything. And you remember the story. So it was a great victory. And then Ahab, who was an evil king, and Jezebel, even to this day, nobody names their kids Jezebel. Anybody name Jezebel here?
No.
There's probably a reason for that. And so she says, I'm going to get you. You're not going to make it through the day. I'm going to come and kill you. And so Elijah gets very depressed, which I'm sure none of you have ever done as a follower of the Lord. I'm kidding, of course. And he's like, Lord, I don't know if you've ever done this. Lord, I'm the only one left. Most of the Christians, you know, Lord, they're lukewarm. They're not really following you, Lord. Only I. It's only this church. It's only this Bible study group. We're the only ones left. And so he actually prayed against him. But not even Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, right? He's praying against Israel. He's not going to stop it. He thinks there's nobody left. But God's like, Elijah, can I tell you something? I love you, but you're wrong here. You don't know what you're talking about. There's 7,000 folks that have chosen, that I've reserved for myself, that have not bowed their knee to the false gods. And so there's always a remnant that God has, and you can trust him in that. And then he goes on to say, and I'm sorry, guys, this is very teachy. I wanted to be honest with you. I wanted to skip it and just go to 12 because it's so cool. But this is in the Bible, and so God wants us to know it. So there's a reason. So there's always a remnant in verse 5. It says, so too at this present time, he says, there is a remnant chosen by grace. What is a remnant? What is it?
Crumbs.
What's left over? Yeah, a small amount. And you remember, there's always a remnant. If you notice, when you guys read the Bible, there's always a small group of people. You know, there's a bunch that disobey, but there's a small group that obey. Remember, like, for example, well, there was Noah and his family, right? There's a remnant there. Or when they were going into the promised land, do you remember there was a couple people that said, hey, let's go in. God said, take the land, right? Caleb, right? Joshua? Everybody else was like, no, there's giants. We can't obey God. So they spent 40 years in the desert going around. But there's always a remnant. In Ezra 9:13, it even says, what has happened to us is a result of our evil deeds and our great guilt. And yet our God, you have punished us less than our sins deserve and have given us a remnant like this. There's always going to be a remnant of God's people. Always. And it says, chosen by grace. And that's how we're all saved. It's not by your religion or your works. Verse 6 says, and if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. If you could work your way to heaven, you wouldn't need Jesus dying on the cross.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you could be religious enough, if you could do enough religious stuff, you wouldn't. To cover your own sin, you wouldn't need to accept that free gift of eternal life. But you do. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what cleanses you from sin. He is what cleanses you from all sin. He alone. You guys know this verse. Yes. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your doing. It is a gift of God. Nope, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. He goes on to them, he says this in verse 7.
What then? What Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain, but the elect did. The others were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see, and ears so they could not hear to this very day. So the remnant were saved, those who God chose and elected, those who wouldn't bow their knees. And it says that others, the others were hardened. And that word in verse 7 for hardened, some of yours, you guys have a different translation. What does it say? Others were what? Blinded?
Blinded.
Okay. Basically, the word in Greek is parao, and it's three times it's used as hardened, two times it's used as blinded. But basically, what it means literally is to cover with a thick skin. And so don't get the idea here that that God just chose them, and so he chose to harden the other people's hearts so they wouldn't believe. It's they hardened their hearts. They chose to cover with a thick skin, almost like a callus. Another definition said to lose the power of understanding. And that word there, guys, and this is what scares me. When we harden our heart, when God's word is being said, taught to you, or if somebody brings something to you from the scripture and you reject it, whether that be a word from him or whether that be salvation, every time you do that, your heart gets hardened. It's almost like a callus is being formed. Have you guys ever had that? You guys work with your hands and stuff?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, let me see your hands for a second. Plumbing. Okay. Okay, you got some calluses on those hands. Now, I don't have too many right now, but I used to dig ditches and I used to haul trash a long time ago. And what happens when you have a callus? You what? It hardens it what?
Numb.
It's numb?
It protects you.
It protects you from feeling.
Yeah. Right.
It makes you desensitized. Right. So you don't feel anything. So every time what scares me is, and what scares me about being a pastor is, I could be sitting here sharing the truth, or maybe your friend next door as you're talking, they're sharing the word with you, or sharing the gospel, or sharing the truth with you. And every time you say no, another layer of callus goes over and you become less sensitive. And in fact, then you don't even notice it. You're like, well, this judgy church, what are they talking about? That's what happens. It will never be easier for you to accept Christ than it is right now for your salvation. Every time you say no, you harden your own heart. You put a callus over it. Every time God is trying to reach you with the truth and says, hey, I don't want you to live this way in your life anymore. I don't want you to be a gossip. I don't want you to be a whatever. I don't want you to be blank. And you say, I'm not that bad. I'm a gossip like you. Harden of your heart. No, I'm not saying they're God. I just picked them at random. Everybody knows. Whatever your issue is, that's what you're doing. You're hardening your heart. Don't do that. Ask it, God, soften my heart with oil. Don't allow your heart to be hard, or you'll miss out. That's why one person can sit in a teaching and get a lot, and another one gets nothing. Listen, Thursday night, we let everybody share one thing that God taught them. There was a couple things. That night, from what you guys shared, somebody shared with me about 2 in the morning what was spoken to them. So somebody spoke something here that's very powerful, and God used it. And then somebody that spoke something to me through one of you guys, God used it also for a couple of days. And so, but the only reason I'm up is because I'm asking God, soften my heart with oil. Don't let me be hard. Don't let your heart be hard. Whatever that thing is that you're holding on to, let it go. Let it go. Don't let it become hard. Deal with it. Choose to obey God, whatever it is. Even David, and David says, may their table become a snare and a trap. And he's speaking about the Israelites here, his brothers. A stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their back bent forever. Even David, right? He's even praying against them. He's like, man,
May their table become a snare. And they're just talking about the blessings and privileges and stuff like that. And their backs bent forever. That's just a symbol of carrying the heavy load of the religion. But that doesn't even stop it. God has a plan for Israel. And it says, again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall, verse 11, to fall beyond recovery? And the idea is forever? Or are they hardened beyond redemption? And the answer is not at all. See, the neat thing about the Lord, too, is just like for Israel, just like with you, if you've hardened your heart, hardened your heart, hardened your heart, you can still choose today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you say, yes, I'm not going to go back to the well for that. I'm not going to go back to the gap. I'm not going to go to pornography. Lord, I'm not going to do that. I'm not. I'm coming to you for help. Will you help me to do that? I'm not going to be the gossip. I'm not going to be the slander. I'm not going to be the jealous at any time. It says, do they stumble beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation came to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world and their lost riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? Or when the Israelites get saved. I'm talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. Listen, I don't know if that makes you mad, but even the Apostle Paul is saying that, you know, that's what the Scripture says. It says that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay? Thanks. Good night. Romans 15:6 says, Paul says, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. But he also said in Romans 10:1, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, is that they get saved. In other words, when he's preaching to the Gentiles, you know, he's hoping, when he's preaching this thing and people are getting saved, he's hoping that his brothers, Israel, will get saved too. It's a godly jealousy, and that word for jealousy, I'm trying to remember what it is in the Greek, and I don't remember, parazao or something like that. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. But what it means is not just to be jealous or envious in your heart and bitter about it, but to be jealous and to respond to it. And I don't even know kind of a good way to put this. Somebody did this to me a long time ago. He was kind of a jerk. But God used it. And he said, he's like, you know, when I was young in the Lord, he said, well, you know, Lisa was very in tune with the Spirit back then, and I wasn't so much. And I was, you know, raised in religious, so I wasn't, just wasn't. And I remember him saying to me, you know, well, maybe you're just one of those Wendy guys. So what? He's like, well, I mean, you know, maybe you're okay with letting your wife be the, you know, spiritual leader of your house. You know, she's going to be the one. She's going to be the spiritual one, and you're just kind of one of those, you know, wimpy guys that not willing to put forth the effort and study the word and get in there. And that's just who you are. You're just one of those wimpy guys, like I see a lot of. Well, I tell you, I won't even tell you what I almost did. I almost did it as a demonstration of a reflex reaction. But, you know, but let me tell you what that did. Let me tell you what that did to me. God used it, and it made me jealous. But not jealous to, like, my wife's more spiritual than me. I don't like her. Who does she think she is? No. God used it in my life to say, hey, I need to get into the Word. And I was there every time the doors were open. Men's Bible study, I'm there. Sunday service, I'm there. Thursday night service, I'm there. I want to grow, I want to learn. And over time, God started instilling all these things in me and building me up and teaching me. You know? And so what he's saying is, God's using this to make even the Jews jealous so that they'll want what we have. We've got freedom in Christ. there is so much riches that we have that they don't, and they know it. Sorry, just give me a little bit of minutes because I really want to be 12 next week. That's terrible. Just give me a couple more minutes.
First book?
What?
First book?
No, I want to do chapter 12.
We
want to
do 12.
You want to
do chapter 12 next
week? I do! I know! All right, I won't do all of it. We'll just, all right. All right, let me just finish this little section then. He goes on to say, he says that, for if their, I can't even read my Bible.
Rejection.
If their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will the acceptance be from the life from the dead? In other words, you know what? Jesus, and they went to the Jews first. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Then to the Gentiles? Romans 1:8 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And it goes to the Jew first and then the Gentile. Now, that doesn't bother me. That bothers some people. I don't know why it should. You know, I got saved about 15 years ago. Anybody get saved more than 15 years ago? Raise your hand. Okay. That doesn't make me jealous. I say, good, praise the Lord. God brought the gospel to you first. Praise God. Now, Gary, you can help me in some areas. Do you know what I'm saying? That's fine. What does it matter? Yes?
What's the difference between a Gentile? What is a Gentile?
Okay, okay. Basically, a Gentile is someone who is not a Jewish person. So, like, are there any Jewish people here who are saved? Okay. It's somebody who's come from a Jewish background who gets saved. And Messiah is Jewish. And so I'm a Gentile. And basically, that's just the rest of the world.
Okay.
So I'm a Gentile. You're a Gentile.
If you're not a Jew, you're a
Gentile. Yes. If you're not a Jew, basically, you're a Gentile.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question. And then he says this, and he just goes on a couple quick illustrations. He says, if the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole vat is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. And he's talking about something back in Numbers 15, 17 to 21, and where you would offer the first, where the farmers back in those days would have a crop, and you would give the first fruits over to God. And you would say, God, I would like you to bless my crops. Here's the first fruits of it. Here's the very best. And God's like, I would bless it and say, okay, it's all holy. And he's saying, that's the same way with the Jewish people. God has a plan for them because of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. His promises does not fail. And so, and then he goes on to say, we're like grafted in. It says, if verse 17, if some of the branches had been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you consider this, you do not support the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Aren't I all that? I added that. Verse 20 says, granted, but they are broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Don't be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. So basically what that's saying is, when there was a tree, that sometimes the Lord gives a picture of the olive tree, Israel. And I think I got one in here. This thing would work. There we go. Okay. And so basically what it's saying, there was the natural olive tree and oil in the Middle Eastern culture represented food and fuel and everything. And it would have these big fruits. And then there would be these wild olive trees, and they really didn't produce any fruit. The fruit they produced were tiny, and they were hard, and they were wasted, and it was like good for nothing. And so what he's saying is what they would do is they'd cut out a notch in the root of the big tree, if some of the branches on a real tree weren't bearing fruit, and they would take a wild branch. That's what you and I are. We're a wild branch. And we're grafted in to the root, which is, you know, by faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we're grafted in to that main tree. And we're receiving the nutrients from that tree. And we're receiving the fullness of that tree by faith. And so that's kind of what we are. We're grafted in. And so
You know, don't be down on the Jewish people. Like, who are they? We're grafted into that root, right? That's who God chose. And so we're grafted into that root. And so don't become arrogant about it. There's nothing worse than a prideful, you know, Christian. And don't be arrogant about that. And then he just goes on to say, you know, consider therefore the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you would continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you'll also be cut off. And if they do not persist, and if they do not persist in unbelief, they'll be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted in into their own olive tree? In other words, there's lots of folks right now, there's lots of Jews right now that are being saved. And they're coming to know him as Yeshua HaMashiach, you know, the Messiah. And there's folks right now that don't even know. When you read like a scripture like Isaiah 53, when it talks about Jesus the Messiah, did you guys know that there's a guy I've been talking to at my office at Panera, and he's Jewish. And I said to him, he's like, I tried to give him some material. He's like, is it religious? I said, yes. He's like, I don't want it. Okay. But we start talking, and he's like, man, you're such a cool guy. I said, oh, well, thanks. He's like, and I mentioned, I hear me on the phone that I was a pastor. He's like, you're a pastor? And I said, yeah. Because we were talking, I told him I'd been to Israel. He's like, that's awesome, you know? So he started listening to me, and he goes, I just thought you were a cool religious guy. I said, well, I am cool. But I said, but I'm not a religious guy. He goes, I hated religion. He's like, what? I said, oh, yeah, religion to me is like an inoculation against getting the real thing, not knowing the Lord. And that's what it's about, a relationship with him. He's like, of course, you guys have probably all heard that, but he's like, I have never heard any pastor anywhere say something like that. And I said, it's true. Now, what they do, guys, you might not know this, is in that they go through the Bible every year in the Jewish synagogue, either in a year or 3 years. If you read Isaiah 53, maybe you can do it for homework today. Read Isaiah 53. And it's all about Jesus. You read it. You can't help. It is talking about the Messiah. It so clearly talks about Jesus, who he is. Like, you can't deny it. Did you know that that's not allowed to be read in the synagogue?
What?
Did you know that? That's not read in the synagogue. They skip
yet
that.
It's a part of that, of their...
But the point is, they'll go through that whole Bible, but they'll skip Isaiah 53. Now, if you ask a Jewish person to read Isaiah 53 and ask, because they're still waiting for the Messiah, who is that talking about? I mean, you can't help if you're really open to the Lord. It is so clearly Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, if you really nail a Jewish person on it, he'll say it's talking about suffering Israel. But it can't be, because it's saying he. It's describing Jesus perfectly in there. And if it is really describing Israel, then why isn't it read in the synagogues? There's a reason for that.
It's called
Messianic Jew,
right?
Or what is it? Yes, they're called the
Messianic Jew.
Yeah, they believe in Yeshua
the Messiah. One of the happiest men I've ever met was a Jewish man saved. I mean, he would not. You talk about zealous. Happy, yes, yeah. Zealous man right there, man. Happy guy. Too happy.
There's a guy by the name, I don't know if you guys want to YouTube him later, his name is Marty Goetz. And I don't know, has anybody heard of him? Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, a few of you. He's got this great song. It's called A Jew Born Anew. And he's a Jewish guy, man. And he's the funniest song, but it's great. Okay, I think I'm going to stop there because I talked too long. This is really PG and it's not very fun. But it is important that you understand that the bottom line is God still has a plan for Israel. He hasn't written off the Jewish people completely. There are folks, Jews for Jesus, you may have heard of them. There's missionary organizations specifically. It's a difficult environment, and they're preaching to the Jews right now, and some of them are getting saved. Now, you get a Jewish guy come to know, they call them completed Jews, and they are on fire. They are excited about the Lord because there's so much to be excited about. All right, so next week, we have a little doxology. There's a little bit to finish, and then we're going to get in chapter 12, which is one of my favorite chapters, which I'm really looking forward to doing. And that's a lot of the practical stuff. It's about transforming our lives and how God does that and why He does that. And it's just one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And so we are going to do that, Lord willing, next week.
Okay.
All right, is there anything that anybody wants to share before we stop? Yes?
Adam said something that was very, very important. And we were talking about the Edmund Fitzgerald, and he said, what if you're on the ship and you don't have a choice? Mm. The reality is there's a lot of people sitting in churches today that are following just the preaching, and they're not digging into this for themselves, and they're going to be on a boat, and they didn't make the right choice because they didn't go to the truth.
Yes.
And we as a congregation need to make sure that we read this, and we study this, and we pray about it, and we ask for the Lord's guidance and direction, because we can't count on somebody else. It's only God the Father Almighty, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we really, truly learn the truth.
Yes. And you know what? It even says that, you know, in the latter days, God will still have but most people are going to follow teachers to what their itching ears want to hear. That's the way they're going to go. So how much more should we right now be getting all the word we can? Every time there's a Bible study. Yes, I understand you're tired. Yes, I understand you want to watch TV. You know, get out. I want to encourage you that your relationship with the Lord will grow. Your understanding of who He is and as you let that word permeate, you let that fruit grow, God's going to use it. You know, I even think of Nate did a study, and we did do a Dale Irwin study on forgiveness. It was really good. It was great discussion, and it was really cool. So I talked to my wife about it when I got home. I was like, oh, that's so cool. And she's like, yeah, I forgot about Gail. And she started watching some. She's like, that was really good. Yeah, oh, I forgot. We've learned so much. That was really, I'm jealous. I'm jealous that you guys are doing that.
Yeah.
I want to do that. So, listen, now she's not mad at the guys.
No.
It's just that, wow, it's like let the Lord stir up. God has so much in His precious word. He's got so much in a relationship for you. He's got so much He wants to invigorate in you. He just wants you to have open hearts to hear what His Spirit has to say. So don't be like the captain of the Fitzgerald that says, hey, we're good. We're holding our own. Be like God's people. Listen, I want you, I'd love everybody in here to be the remnant. Now, I know that that's probably impossible, because we'd all be, but I would love that. You can't manage what your wife's doing, or what your husband, or your friend, but what you can manage is what you're doing. You can manage you, and as you seek the Lord, and as you let the Holy Spirit fill you up and change your life, that naturally or supernaturally flows out to others. There was a young lady Thursday, and I'll just close with this. Young lady shared, and it wasn't powerful. Honestly, at the time, I thought, oh, that's nice, and I moved on. But it was so powerful in a few people's lives later on that week. You know, she said she was struggling with some things, and she was kind of mad at the Lord a little bit. And she's like, you know, things weren't turning out the way she thought they were going to go. And things aren't happening the way they wanted to happen. And I was a little mad about it. And I don't feel very close to you right now. You know? And I don't feel very close to you right now. And she said, she shared with us, as a congregation Thursday night, she says, then the Lord spoke to me and said, Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29. He said, you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Mm-hmm. You're not really seeking me. She's like, you know what, Lord? You're right. You control you. You seek the Lord. And God will do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask for or imagine. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for today, Lord, and thank you for your word, Lord. I know this is a teaching section, Lord, and not very fun, but Lord, your word doesn't return void. You promised that, Lord. And so I ask in Jesus' name that you would use something that was said from somebody in here, Lord God, that you would use that this week to encourage and exhort your people, Lord God. I look forward to getting back, Lord, and doing Romans chapter 12. I just pray, ask you to prepare our hearts to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say. I ask for your blessing on the women's group, Lord, who are getting back together, and it's going to be getting into the nature of Jesus. That's so awesome, Lord. I ask you to bring them out, Lord God. Bring out the ladies. Bring out the teen girls who want to seek you, Lord. Speak to them, Lord God. I ask for Thursday night, too, for Tom's teaching, Lord God, that you would bless that as well, Lord God. And then even if the Friday forum, I think, is this week, too, Lord. I ask that you would bless that group, Lord. You would help us to grow together as a body and as a group, Lord. We thank you for your heart. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Holy Spirit. We thank you for all that you're doing here. We're asking that you would give us soft hearts, Lord. You would soften our hardened hearts with the oil of your Holy Spirit and with your precious, precious word. We love you and bless you and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, guys.